Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here and allowing us to connect on this Tuesday night. We just want to offer up our hearts and minds to you in this moment. Help whatever we read and talk about today to glorify you. Whatever the message is that you have for us right now, just help us to receive that and be with all the prayer requests in the room. I'm sure I'll probably mention this later and ask for them later, but you know our hearts better than we do. So I just want to lift up anything that's really burdening someone right now. I also want to ask that you take away whatever is distracting us right now from what we're doing. Help us to just really dedicate this time to you, God. We love you so much, and we are preparing every day to get to see you soon when you come back for us. And we just can't wait for that, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are jumping into Hebrews 2 today, and I hope you all were able to read it. If not, just read it when we get off the call. There's three things that really stood out to me in this section, and the first starts right in the beginning. Also, I showed this last time. This is how I study. I don't know if you can see it, but it's underlined. I do a lot of underlining. I do a lot of writing in the sides of my Bible. I don't know if we're seeing that. But just in case you're ever curious, that's how I do it. I underline, I take notes next to what I'm reading. Sometimes I draw little icons, and that's really helpful for me. So do what you gotta do to understand what you're reading. So we're gonna look at chapter 2, verse 3, and it says this. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So in chapter 2, the author is telling us about Jesus, essentially, and saying, because in chapter 1 we discovered that God created the earth, now we're talking about how Jesus came and offered up salvation for us. I think it's really interesting in the Christian community how many people are very quick to say, I know Jesus was real. I know I believe in God. I believe in everything that happened on earth. But I think that Hebrews 2 really points out that there is a difference between knowing that Jesus walked on earth or knowing God created the earth and then also accepting Jesus or accepting salvation. And I have a little story from my own life to kind of make this point. When I was in college, like 3 years ago, there was this guy that was very persistent in getting to know me. And he was a nice guy, sweet guy, but I was not super interested in him. And maybe you guys can relate to a time when someone was really interested in you, or maybe you were really interested in someone, but it wasn't getting reciprocated. The reason I'm telling you this story is because the intentions of the guy that was interested in me were really clear to me, but just knowing his intention was not the same as accepting him as my boyfriend. And it's the same way with God. Being able to see that Jesus died for us, being able to see that God created the world for us, we can know, like, okay, God created the world, but that is not the same action as saying, I believe in God, I accept God, I accept what Jesus did for me. And so Hebrews 2 is pointing out that it's really important for us to not just know that God exists and that Jesus came on the earth, but to also accept what he did for us and accept that he gave us salvation from his death. So that's just a quick little story. To kind of share that point and that perspective. That's what came to me. We're going to move on to verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them the glory and honor and put everything, crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet." So this is talking about when the earth was created and people were placed onto it. And I thought that was really interesting, the phrase that says, you made them a little lower than the angels. When we jump down to Hebrews 2, verse 9, it says, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. So just take a moment to recognize that. In our description of people, it says, you made them a little lower than angels. And in our description of Jesus, it says he was made lower than the angels for a little while. So I thought it was cool that the author used the same description for people and then also for Jesus. And this shows us that Jesus was really truly human when he came. I think often we think of Jesus, we know he was human, we know he walked on earth, but we think, yeah, but he also had a leg up because he's part of God and, you know, he came from heaven. And we just kind of almost discredit some of his trial and some of his struggle because we say, oh, well, you know, but he was Jesus. But here in the definition in Hebrews, we're seeing him described, he is defined the exact same way as people. And that's very valuable and helpful for us because that means that what Jesus went through, he can relate to us. It's something that we are going through as well because we were both experiencing what it was like to be a little lower than the angels for a time. And I thought about this for quite some time. I tried to come up with a scenario in my life that Jesus could not relate to. So I was like, well, what if this happened to me or that happened to me? Is there a situation where Jesus couldn't relate to that? And believe it or not, I think he could relate to everything I came up with. And so I'm going to ask you guys to be a little vulnerable today. We're going to have a little chat in this moment. I want you to think of something you're currently going through. And then I want you to see if you can find a time Jesus went through something similar. So I'll give a really dramatic example, but a real example. I had a friend who recently, his brother died. He passed away. And obviously, we can think of Jesus's life and we can think, when was a time that someone in Jesus's life passed away and he felt that loss? And I think immediately of the story of Lazarus. So I'm asking you guys to be a little vulnerable with us tonight, share something you're going through, and then share the part of Jesus' experience that you feel relates to what you're going through. And we'll just take a moment while you think of that. Yes, type an X if you'd like to talk. Thank you for the reminder. All right, Reggie.
So I've been tired before, like I've been like exhausted before, and the Bible will tell you, I think it might be in the Gospels where Jesus says that there's no place for the Son of Man to rest his head. Mm-hmm. So Jesus has been tired too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good example. I'm in Matthew right now in my own personal study, and there's a point where he's calling some people to follow him, and they say, yeah, I want to follow you, and I think that's where he points that out. So yeah, that's a really good example. Is there anybody else? I'm seeing Sunny. Go for it, Sunny.
Yeah, I don't want to be that person that, like, totally spills all their guts in front of everyone. But since we're sharing, I am coming into a profession where a lot of people in that profession, myself included, constantly suffer from imposter syndrome, and we're constantly comparing ourselves to our peers, and anytime we have an accomplishment, we're like, oh, that was just a fluke, or okay, yeah, it's a good thing, but when I compare it to my peers' accomplishment, all of a sudden it kind of pales in comparison, and so over time, you suffer from a constant feeling of inadequacy, and it's just kind of emotionally exhausting, to be honest, because you literally feel like you're never good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Jesus can relate to that though, because I don't know if he had imposter syndrome ever.
Sure. Well, I love that you shared that. So thank you so much for your transparency. And I think you'd be amazed how many of us can deeply relate to that. Yeah. I think especially right now with social media, it's so ironic, but even with everyone in their homes, I catch myself being like, wow, their house is way nicer than mine. Or wow, they're doing way more exercise than I am. So I think we are really guilty of that. I think it's interesting when we think of Jesus coming into the world that he came into, he was compared. He was very harshly compared. Everybody in the Jewish community really held up Moses. They thought they put Moses on this pedestal. And you'll see the Pharisees frequently telling Jesus, well, in the law of Moses, it says this. Or in the law of Moses, it says that. And so I think that's the first example that comes to my mind of a time where Jesus is doing these amazing things. He's healing people. He's helping people. And the Pharisees are kind of in their little, you know, clique, their little posse saying, yeah, but Moses said this, and that's better the way Moses did it. So that's kind of where I go with that. Is there anyone else who wants to comment on a time that they think Jesus might have been compared or judged based on his actions? Reggie. Go for it, Reggie.
So one example is the fact that the Pharisees would say that he's not from the Sanhedrin, that he doesn't have the education that they have. They would say, what right does he have to say this and say that? What power, what authority does he have to say this and say that? He was being compared to people like them who technically had the authority, but they didn't do anything with it. But those circumstances didn't matter to the Pharisees. It just mattered that he had no right to encroach on their authority.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Reggie. That's a great point as well. They felt Jesus didn't have the credibility that their traditions had. Another time that we see a weakness in Jesus would be towards the end of his life when he's praying and the disciples fall asleep on him. It's not really necessarily a comparison, but it is a vulnerable moment where we see him feeling down. We see him feeling like, oh, my friends don't even recognize what I'm doing. They don't even recognize. I've been trying to tell them all this time I'm going to die for everyone's sins, and they're still not understanding it. They can't even stay up and pray for me. So it might not be a perfect cookie cutter fit to what you're going through, but I think the emotion behind it and some of your thought process behind it, it's very likely that that was very similar to some of those things that we see Jesus going through. But thank you so much for that. That was a really thoughtful thing to bring up. I really appreciate that. Is there one more before we move forward? One more person that wants to share a life example and the way it relates to something Jesus did? All right, is it Simon?
Matthew. I keep trying to change that.
It's all good, Matthew.
I don't know why I keep doing that. So for me, as I was sitting here thinking, there have been times when even here recent, being, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, forgotten or overlooked, you go into a social setting and, you know, everyone knows everybody else or, you know, and I just walk in, I just kind of sometimes feel like, oh, it just happened hanging out with some friends on a Google Hangout, and I joined their Hangout, and then someone else joined, and they totally were talking to this other individual, and I was just sitting there, and I kind of felt like left out, and I just sat there silent for a good 20 minutes, and they finally recognized, oh, who's this person over here? And it was the call sign that you see, and someone had to say, oh, that's Matthew, why are you sitting over there quiet? And I didn't say anything, but I kind of felt like, well, I kind of felt kind of forgotten about in the background, mm-hmm. because you'd rather talk to this other person. And I can be prone to feeling that way at times if I'm not careful. And I feel Jesus was that way, would have felt that when he was 12, his own parents forgot him, and they had to go, because it was like they were on a 2 days journey. They lost where Jesus was. He's back in Jerusalem. You know, that's where he says, I need to be about my father's business. His own parents forgot him. And so I feel like in that moment, he would know what it would be like to be overlooked or forgotten about. It's like his own parents forgot him. It's like, that's, you know, that's bad parenting right there. But but I can feel like he would relate to that feeling. So,
yeah, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing something from his childhood. I think that's a good point. We don't have a lot in the Bible written about his childhood, but he still went through growing up. And so he still went through the awkward teenage years. And I wouldn't be surprised if he went through some of that social, the social challenge of someone maybe not including him in a game or wanting, you know, different things. So, yeah, great. Very good. Okay, well, we are going to continue here. So just keeping some of those things in mind, we're going to drop down to verse 10. And it says in verse 10, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And so the whole point of Jesus was to be the pioneer. I'm reading in the NIV, and that's where that word is used. Your version might say something different, but I like the word pioneer. I kind of sat and pondered that for a little while, just the fact that Jesus was our example in the fullest sense of the word. I know for me, a hobby I have is I really enjoy figure skating. Not doing very much of it at home. I've seen some funny memes about sliding around the kitchen floor, but it's just not the same. But when I was actually training, I had a coach. Now, I want you to think about how useful a coach would be if they never did the sport that they were coaching. So maybe you're into football. Can you imagine a football coach trying to train a football team when they'd never played football before, or they'd never learned the rules? Or for me, you know, a figure skating coach trying to tell me how to do these jumps and spins that they've never done. Not only would it be very challenging for them to teach us that sport, but it would also be extremely challenging for us to relate to them. And so that's why we see that God also recognized this. He recognized that it would be very hard for us to relate to him if he never came down to our level and came and dwelled with us. And that's where Jesus came into the picture. And I think this was something that was decided from the very beginning of time. It was not like sin was an accident and all of a sudden God and Jesus are scrambling to fix the problem. This was a very planned out action. God wanted to have this relationship with us, and he knew that would take kind of a leveling of the field. It would take Jesus coming down to be with us. And so it comes down to verse 14. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. So not only did he have to come experience what we're experiencing, but of course he had to conquer death. He had to overcome the thing that all of us feel afraid of, especially right now. Right now, with everything happening with the virus, it's a scary moment. We don't know. We don't know if we go to the grocery store, what might be out there. We don't know what might happen to our friends and family. And it's not something for us to obsess over, but it is something that's real and is kind of a reality check. But praise God that Jesus came and he was able to experience it first. He was able to conquer the grave. And we're going to be reminded of that this weekend as we think about Easter, that this great example, this pioneer that we had in our lives was able to come and just lead the way for things that are also things we have to face. So my next question for you guys is going to be, how do you feel your own personal trials can help make you relatable to those around you? How are your own personal trials something that can help make you relatable to people around you, especially right now as we see a lot of fear in the media and everything with this virus? Put an X in the chat if you want to share. Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, I was gonna say, give me a second. I'm trying to figure out because I'm on my phone. But one of the things that I know that at least for me is very useful is even though like just being empathetic, because a lot of times people are going through very similar things that we've experienced, or they have already experienced something that we are currently going through. And so doing life alongside other people is something that's really, really crucial because it helps you see the humanity in people, because a lot of times we are so like wrapped up in our own struggles and our own circumstances that we don't take the time to take a step back and realize that, hey, other people are also going through this, and they're probably struggling with this in the same way that I am. Mm-hmm. So how can I make myself available to, so that we can both, in a sense, help each other out through this difficult circumstance? Mm-hmm. And I know that whenever it comes to being a Christian, a lot of times it can be harder for us to relate to people who have different backgrounds than we do, but just taking the time to listen to them and be open to their experiences really does help you learn a lot about who the person is. And in turn, it'll help deepen that relationship with that person because you took the time to listen and you took the time to step into that, which a lot of people don't necessarily do because it takes too much time, or mm-hmm. because like they just don't want to go through all of the effort and through all of the emotions, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing. I think being a good listener is so important and something that is very easily overlooked. I know it talks a lot about that in Proverbs. It talks about the wise are slow to speak. And I think that it's very helpful for us to sometimes just listen. Sometimes people don't need advice. They don't need someone to tell you. They don't need someone to tell them how to do things, how to fix it. Sometimes people just want to be listened to and they just want you to acknowledge, you know what? Yeah, that is really hard. Yeah, that is really, I can see how that would be a challenge. And I've been in a challenging spot like that too. So thank you for sharing that. That's very good. Anybody else? Ways our trials help us relate to others. Hastings.
I think for me personally, like I like to say, like I have like selective amnesia. So like I forget, like when I say like if I go through a trial and then like God gets me through it, like somehow it gets deleted and then I'm like, okay, on to the next one. But I think now like spending more time with him, I'm slowing down and it's a more of a humbling experience knowing like, okay, if I've conquered this like particular challenge, like for me, the longest is music. Like I love music, but like I guess the type of music I listened to didn't really line up with where me and God were going. And so like, it was a long battle, but I'm slowly definitely getting there. But like, I think it's giving me a humble experience to like, so like when I look at someone else, I'm like, okay, how can you listen to that? Because then I'm like, oh snap, I was there like not too long ago. And like, okay, like, let me reach out. Like, I know if God can work through me, he can work through you as well. You know, like there's not that, I'm not a higher, or if that makes sense, I'm not a higher person than you. We're all at the same place just by the grace of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's so true. I think it's easy when you're in the valley, you're like, oh, I'm in the valley. But when you're on the high, you're like, oh, I'm in the high, you know, I'm in the clear. and I think in times like this, especially with this virus, it's really useful for us to look back and say, even though I'm feeling afraid now, look at all the stuff that I've overcome up until this point. You know, look at all the times that I didn't think I was going to make it and I did. And I think, you know, God really gives us that. He gives us, sometimes he gets us through things to prepare us for other things in our future. So I think that's a really good point, being able to recognize, and not only recognize what you went through, but think about that in relation to others, which ties in with empathy, like Jennifer said, being able to say, I'm not better than you because I did the same thing. it's funny how people are like that, you know, in some ways we're kind of like a pack, you know, we all copy each other. My parents have this saying they love to use called, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But we're real quick to judge the Romans, but when we're with the Romans, we're going to be just like them. So I think that's a really good point.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do one more. I know I'm pushing time here, but let's do one more. Sunny.
Sorry, I don't mean to be so chatty, but
chatty girl, that's why we're on here.
Yeah, I think that I was the type of person who, especially, you know, high school onward, I had a very specific plan for how my life would turn out. And I'm proud to say that, like, I have a lot of willpower and I'm very focused. So in many ways, my life has turned out exactly the way that I thought it would. But there were some episodes that I think were kind of significant where it didn't turn out exactly how I had planned it and designed it and wanted it. Mm-hmm. So although I think I have a lot to be proud of myself for, those moments and episodes were very humbling in a way. And so I think in that sense, like, I can relate to others and a lot of people can relate to me, where, you know, they've just had those moments where they were like, this was how it was going to go. And then God was like, not quite. And those moments taught me a lot of humility. And I think in many ways it's helped me remain very down to earth. And I think that's something that a lot of people in a way can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plans not going as planned. I think that's probably top five things that we've all definitely struggled with. So thank you for bringing that up. That's such a good point. Yeah, we just don't have control over everything, even though we can try really hard. I know I'm struggling with being a perfectionist, and it's so tough on me when it doesn't go how I want it or how I envisioned it. But I'm learning day by day, like you said, to realize, you know, that happens to everybody, and it's not so much going how you plan, but more what you do with it when it doesn't. So that's a really good point. All right, my last little phrase that I just wanted to leave with you was actually our last verse of the chapter, and that is Hebrews 2 verse 18, and it says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And I think that just summarizes everything that we talked about really nicely. Because he went through it, because he suffered through it, he can help us also get through those hard times and hard moments in our lives. So I just want to leave that encouragement with you, with whatever you're going through this week, however you're feeling about quarantine or about your job or about your school, whatever it is that you're going through, just have it in the back of your mind that, like, Jesus knows, he cares, and he's going to get you through it one way or the other, even if it's not clear at the moment. I just really want to leave that with you. And then my last thing that I want you to think about coming out of the call is, think about those friends that you have who do know of God or know of Jesus, but maybe have not accepted him. Think about the difference between those two situations, knowing versus accepting. And then think about ways that you could potentially reach out to that person. And I mean that in the most natural way possible. I know that's a huge challenge, but don't necessarily reach out yet, but just start thinking about that. Who knows God, but maybe hasn't accepted them? And what could I demonstrate in my life to help them recognize that? It's a big challenge, so we're not going to discuss it yet, but I want you to start thinking about it, especially while we have people that we love and care about going through this coronavirus drama with us. All right, we are going to do prayer requests. Yes, thank you, Tim. Tim is the greatest right-hand man, by the way. Special shout out to him. Feel free to share those prayer requests in the chat while we're wrapping up. Just take a moment and write those out. Special shout out to Matthew, who's dropped his Zoom link in the chat for Sunday night Bible studies. Go ahead and grab that if you're available at 7 p.m. Central. He was talking about that earlier before we started. He mentioned that this weekend they're going to be talking about stuff relating to Easter, relating to the crucifixion of Christ. Okay, praying for family around the world. Yes, absolutely. Praying for family, personal family and people that we don't know. Praying for everyone to not be affected by the virus. Yeah, definitely. I think it would be great to limit that spread as much as possible. Anybody else? Family friend has the virus. Oh, that's very hard. We'll definitely pray for your friend, April. I'm sure that's scary for her, especially with all the drama going around it. Friend who is a doctor in New York City, yes, continue to pray for our medical professionals because they're going through a lot right now. I have a couple nurse friends and they are really like warriors right now. Pray for opportunity to share the gospel. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pray for peace of mind during lockdown. Mm-hmm. It's really good to share. Share with friends. Reach out to people when you're feeling uneasy. Don't be afraid to reach out. Praise. My friend who was in the ICU with COVID for 2 weeks is finally well enough to go home. That's awesome, Jody. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is such an encouraging moment, especially when we're looking at April's friend. It's good for her to know that people are getting better. Provision. Yes, definitely, Reggie. All right. We are going to jump into our prayer. Do we have anybody who wants to pray? Volunteer today. Pass it off to someone else. Put an X in the chat if you'd like to have the prayer for us. All right, Hastings, thank you for volunteering.
Prayer. Dear God, thank you for helping us again, Lord, just come together as a community and as brothers and sisters again, Lord, in Christ to share again, Lord, and grow in your word. Help each and every single one of us with our individual trials and tribulations that we might be facing again, God. Help us as we're going through this whole COVID-19 and the whole quarantine situation to grow closer to you and to draw closer to your love and to just meditate and sit in your love, Lord, as we're going through just some uncertain times and just difficult terrain. Lord, we pray for the families all around the world who are battling COVID-19 and who are under the lockdown and just the quarantine, Lord. We pray for just happy families again, God. I know there's some difficulties with everyone coming back home and, you know, just the family dynamic changing, Lord, but we leave that in your hands, Lord. And we pray for guidance. We pray for those individuals who are in battling the disease right now, Lord. And we leave them in your hands and pray for health and restoration. And we pray for their families and friends and loved ones as well. We want to thank you again, God, for the praise report, for the healing that you have done again, Lord, for one of our brothers and I think one of our friends on the chat who one of their family members recovered. I'll just ask you for guidance, Lord, and to just keep on being with us. Help us again, Lord, as we get through this whole situation. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.